Okay, so, in the style of good expository preachers, and I'm at my early days, hopefully, we're going to continue on with Ephesians from where we left off when I was able to speak before. Last time we looked at Ephesians 4, 12 to 14, and just as a little recap, we were looking at the theme of growing into the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. And we read in the Word in Ephesians, Paul was describing how Christ has equipped the church equipped the saints for works of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And he emphasizes in love. And the love is so important. If we haven't got the love, we're just clanging gongs, as Paul says in Corinthians. And in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is placing that emphasis on maturity, that in our Christian faith, we won't be like children, we won't be blown about by circumstances or by dodgy doctrines. And if you keep your eye on the Christian world these days, you've only got to put the God channel on or whatever it's called these days, and you'll hear all sorts of heretical teaching from many, many people. That Paul uses the imagery of the human body to describe the body of Christ, and he's also talking about that need as we grow physically from babies to adults. In the same way, spiritually, we want to grow and mature and stand on steady feet so that we can keep our balance in a topsy-turvy world. And if your world's like mine, it's topsy and turvy every time I think it's just settling down, and then the next bump or pothole comes along, rather like the roads in Ask or surrounding area. So, truth and love are very significant. Truth is what provides a steady, mature Christian life rooted in Christ. If you don't know, if we don't know who Christ is, we don't know his divinity, we don't know that he is the head of the church, if we don't know that he is one person in the Trinity, then our faith is going to be wobbly. It's also important that we know that Christ himself commanded us to love one another, and that the book is all about love and truth. It's like a coin, isn't it? There's two sides to it. And it's important that we never forget the love part and don't just puff ourselves up with the knowledge of truth. It's not about knowledge, it's about knowledge and love. And the Lord Jesus has given us teachers, pastors, to help us understand the truth. And just as our physical body, as Paul was explaining in Ephesians, helps us to stand, he's given us feet and legs, so does the truth help us to stand. So today we're going to be continuing on and looking at the next two verses, which is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. And those verses are, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And Paul starts the verse with speaking the truth in love, and he ends it with the outcome that the body grows so that it builds itself up in love. So love is there at the start and at the end, and truth runs through it all. There are two elements to this section of scripture that we'll look at this morning. The first is to do with speaking the truth. And in the Greek around this, in this context, they've got the word aletheia, which means to tell the truth, to speak the truth, to teach the truth, to profess the truth. And there's a similar phrase in the Old Testament, which of course is in Hebrew. I'm not very good at pronouncing Hebrew, but the word is emunah. And in that sense, it means to speak firmness, to speak with fidelity, to speak with steadfastness, to speak with steadiness. And in the sense of the church, there's this emphasis that we speak the truth because we know the truth. We know the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if we root ourselves in Christ Jesus, knowing the word of God, having it explained and taught, and having it sinking in, the truth will be in us. And that life then that comes from the truth is what we express to one another in love. And in the passage of scripture that we're looking at, Paul says, when each part is working properly, and in the language of the Bible there, the emphasis is talking about God's work, God working properly through us, and the body of Christ working properly. Now, some days my body doesn't work the way that it should. I just had a nice outing with a lovely virus, and I'm not the only one. And it's amazing how your body can change with age, illness, lack of food, or various issues. And the way that we go about doing our work as humans, we might have an idea and think, right, I'm going to put that shelf up on that wall, or tomorrow I'm going to clean the car, tomorrow I'll paint the house, or I'll get somebody in to come and fix something for me. And I'm sure we've all had that experience of a workman arriving who puts the first screw in the wall and says, I'll be back tomorrow. And he doesn't tell you which tomorrow he meant, not the one after, but whatever. But when God works, God doesn't work like us, does he? When God does something, he accomplishes what he sets out to do. He says about his word that my word will never return empty or void. And when God actually, when God works, he doesn't do things shabby, does he? God works perfectly. We can think of creation. We can think of the work of salvation. Christ did not do half a job on the cross. He did a complete job. And when we understand the fullness and the completeness of God's work in us, our legs will be steady, our feet will be firm, and we will know and understand the love. So looking at the first focus on speaking the truth in love. To speak that truth, we must know the truth of God's word. We need to know what he says about himself and about us. We need that understanding. And God's truth needs to take root deep in our inner selves. I don't know if you're like me, but every so often in my Christian walk, something I've read and has kind of been up here in my head, sometimes it drops into my heart or my soul or my spirit, and all of a sudden the meaning and the joy and the power that comes with that is quite mind-blowing. Especially sometimes when perhaps this has happened to you, it's certainly happened to me, I might have had a negative thought about myself or an impression, or perhaps, you know, thinking of perhaps in someone's life a past situation or circumstance, a past hurt or a sin or something, the way they live. And you feel maybe a bit like John Newton did with Amazing Grace. What a wretch I am. And your mind can get hooked on something. The reason we read that passage from Zechariah was because when God called Joshua the high priest, standing at Joshua's right shoulder, imagine there's somebody behind me now. I'm in court now, probably a bit like this, with a lectern that the lawyers stand at, and the person on trial is there, and the accuser, the enemy, the devil, is behind whispering in the courts of heaven, you're not good enough. Remember here, Joshua was dressed in filthy robes. And the enemy's the sort of person who will keep trying to say to you, ah, you've still got a bit of dirt on that robe. Christ may have washed you clean. Oh, but look at that bit on the bottom there, look, where it scrapes the ground. And you can carry things with you in life sometimes. But in Zechariah, God himself says, "The Lord said, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire?" And we are all brands plucked out of the fire. If we're really honest about Scripture, we've all been plucked out of the fires of hell. There is a God who's righteous, who judges sin, and if you haven't got Christ, that is where the Word of God says, after you appear before him, it's appointed once for man to die, and then the judgment. Thankfully, we've got Christ in our lives. We have put our faith and trust in him. We then, when we're before him, being judged, we won't be. The blood of Christ has covered all of our sins. God will see us in those clean robes as he dressed Joshua. But the enemy, the accuser, is always hanging around the church. Might not be the devil himself, but it's Paul says in Ephesians, we struggle against powers, spiritual powers. And most of us can probably identify with that struggle. And it can go on in the mind. You know, Paul talks about the body. The mind is also one part of Christian life that we can struggle with. And if our mind is perhaps a little bit unclear or confused, or our hearts and our emotions can be powerfully holding us, sometimes we can maybe not quite see that God's work was complete. God's work was full. When we received Christ who died on the cross, he didn't leave one little speck. If you put it under the microscope and zoom down to the smallest possible bit of sin, everything was wiped clean in the blood of Christ. So if you've ever got the accuser hanging around and whispering in your ear, remember what it says in Zechariah, that the Lord said to the enemy, the Lord rebuke you. And at the end of that passage, something that was lovely to see in Zechariah 3 was at the start of Zechariah 3, you've got the accuser at the right hand. But at the end of verse 5, it says, so they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. The enemy had gone. He couldn't hang around, not in the presence of God. So it's good. And the core gospel truth for us is that very familiar verse, we all know it, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Faith in Christ's atonement, all sin forgiven, all sin removed, saved from eternal punishment in hell. The good news, it's wonderful news, the enemy would like to shrink it down sometimes. But that good news is not going to be kept silent. And God, the Holy Spirit, will raise those words up in us. Jesus sent the Comforter to remind us of everything that he said. And Jesus said, the words I speak to you are not my own. They are the words my Father has given me. So God wants us to know the truth. In Romans 8:1-13, there's a very long passage there, but there's a verse that says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So when we put that in the context of the verse that we've been looking at this morning in Ephesians, speaking the truth in love, it's important that when we speak the truth, we speak the truth to ourselves, to each other, when we come to that time when probably, as has happened in my life, somebody's encouraged me with a scripture, with a truth from the Word of God, And at those moments, they're like jewels, they're like gems, aren't they? Somebody can bring you that encouragement straight from the Word of God. And it's a tremendous benefit. The body working together, building itself up in love. And I know in my own life, God, in his grace and favour, has given me some special friends. And Deirdre mentioned two this morning, didn't you? Cyril and Ella?
Yes.
And the encouragement that they gave. And I've certainly heard people mention other people. And those dear ones are a gift, aren't they? When you've got somebody in life like that. But it is important to speak that truth to ourselves as well, so that we have that firmness to stand on, and that when we are going about day-to-day life, we know what that word and that truth is. In Colossians 2, 6 to 7, Paul says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." And it's important to do that. There's been a massive transformation. When we received salvation from Christ through faith, there was a legal judgment in heaven that declared us righteous. We were pardoned. We've been transformed from death to life. We've got this wonderful opportunity to take part and live in God's family. It's good news. The Bible says we're a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. It's a new year. It's important that we go into the new year in the truth of God. It's great to be able to speak that to each other and to offer that to people who don't know the truth. And the great and wonderful part of it is that it's there for us to share, and it's about love. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 19, the Apostle Paul says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." And it's good to know that that is the truth. You know, that ministry of reconciliation, God is continually working that in our hearts through the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. And when life is difficult, when we feel down or things happen, it's good to always know that, our Lord, our Saviour, is ever faithful. He's always there. His work was complete. The work that God himself did, as I said before, it's not like the work of somebody who starts but never quite finishes, or does a job to 80% excellence or 90% excellence. When God works, it is 100% proper. His work will not fade. Time won't wear it out. Other people's criticisms will not dub it down. Even what we think sometimes about ourselves will not change the truth of the work that God did through Christ in us through the cross. So when we go back to Ephesians 4 and we read those verses, and Paul is saying, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. We can look at Christ, and obviously Christ being God is perfect, divine. But the work that he did on the cross was perfect. And he utterly defeated and triumphed over Satan, over sin, and over death. And he said to us, I will never leave you. His promises to us are secure. And regardless of what the enemy or false teachers say, it's good that we know the truth and we read it in our scriptures. We can listen to the word of God faithfully taught. It's great that we have a pastor who is so diligent in making sure that the truth is taught verse by verse, precept by precept, as God wanted it to be, so that we walk solidly with that Hebrew emphasis on speaking the truth. The truth is in us. It's steadfast, it's fixed, it's secure. Back in the old days in Victorian industry, you had phrases like shipshape and Bristol fashion. There were phrases about certain products that if you buy that particular one, it will last for life. Not like the rubbish they sell in Currys these days. But, you know, in the old days, I was reading about fridges in America. You could buy a fridge, it would last you for life. And then they realised, actually, we're doing ourselves out of a profit here. So they started engineering into products wear out factors. I mean, Apple do it with mobile phones, don't they? The battery wears out after a certain amount of time. So they build in a need for replacement parts. Well, when God through Christ did that work, there was none of that. There was no weakness in the cross. There was no weakness in Jesus's death and resurrection. There's a better guarantee with the gospel than you'll get with Bosch or Zanussi or Sony or Volkswagen or Audi. You can't buy that. God said, come for free and receive. And that gospel truth is what we must stand on and declare to one another. It is there for us to share, encourage, and stand on. So if you ever feel occasionally when life is on the topsy-turvy or you've hit the potholes, it's always good to remind ourselves that God himself is true to his word and that we can depend on everything that is there. And the accuser, as the Lord said in Zechariah, you can rebuke him with the word of God, and he'll go. So let's give thanks to the Lord for his word, and we can come to the final hymn.